This week we've been concentrating on the Powell County Jail, and Travis and I was talking, and we both, you know, I think credit a lot of our success as elected officials to our staffs that we have and the fine people we have working for us. So we want to take opportunity to talk to some of the jail employees and see what they do and how they contribute, and have three of them here with me today, and I'll let them introduce themselves and give you their job title, and then we'll get into a little bit of more in-depth discussion about exactly what they do and what how they help us.
My name's Scott Wells, and I'm the supervisor over the RCC building, which is the Restrictive Custody Center.
My name is Connie Harding. I'm the Class D coordinator. I work with all the state inmates.
My name is Danny Allen. I'm a chief deputy.
Okay, kind of just starting in, most of y'all have been employees for a little while at the jail. If you want to just kind of talk about some of the changes you've seen and what you attribute some of the recent successes that things we've been doing at the jail. Scott, I'll start with you.
I've been there right around 7 years, and there's been several things that's changed since I've been there. The staff's grown. Our SAP program's grown from 15 SAP inmates to 50. The things we use on a daily basis, you know, we have to grow as the community grows. It's several, you know, our commissary has grown, and it's just been a big change since I've been there.
Connie, anything you wanna add?
I've been there 17 years. I've been through several administrators. All of them were excellent administrators. Since Travis has come in, you know, we have, as Scott said, you know, we have to change with technology. Travis has enabled us to, you know, acquire Jail Tracker, which helps us to keep track of all the inmates we have and their comings and goings when they get transferred. I've seen a whole lot of changes, so many that I really can't list them all, but they're all positive. And I just think it's just been running excellent here for the past, I don't know, ever since Travis come in. I've seen a lot of changes.
Okay, Danny.
Well, when I started at the jail, we done everything by paper. And if you wanted to know if an inmate was in another county, you had to pick the phone up and call that county. And now we have the capability of just getting on the internet. We can go to any county. They can come to ours on our internet site and see if we are holding a certain inmate. And Travis has really put an emphasis on the technology part side of it to make sure that we're staying up with our state regs and stuff on it. And, I mean, he goes out of his way to make sure we do that. He makes sure we go to the trainings to keep up with all the – because it changes on a daily basis.
Yes, it is.
I guess, kind of speaking, I mean, naturally, y'all to be commended. I mean, you can have an elected official or administrator, but only as good as the people underneath them. So it looks like Travis, beyond y'all being loyal people, has invested in getting y'all trained, and that's a big part of making sure that his vision for the jail gets done. And what y'all have done, it's really helped the county a lot in that, you know, the amount of funds we've had to put into the jail, as me and Travis talked about in an earlier episode, has greatly been reduced. And y'all are a big part of doing that on a daily basis, making sure that we have the inmates around and are doing things in the most effective and efficient manner possible. What's some of the biggest challenges y'all still see at the jail or in the future that we'll have to look at addressing?
I'm going to add this. I said Travis makes sure we go to training, and he does make sure we go to training. And I know he calls you, James, and to make sure that, because the judge has, you know, go along with the jailer and work on stuff, and Travis always goes to make sure that everybody knows the physical court and you know where we're going and stuff, and you all support Travis in that. So that's you know, it's a two-way street with that. But Travis always makes sure we keep up, we keep up with the latest technology and stuff. Just like part of my job, I order the supplies, try to make sure, arrange all the transportation and stuff to make sure to pick up inmates. And that's another thing. People wouldn't realize how much you're on the phone just checking prices and stuff. And we try to do local as much as possible, we try to stay local and not go out of the county when we buy stuff. But some of the stuff that you have to buy for the jail, you can't buy local.
Danny, you kind of brought up an interesting question there. I mean, and me from the outside before I took office was probably pretty much like the, I think the majority of our public are. Most people think that if you're running a jail, you're basically just sticking somebody in a cell and turning the key and probably taking them food there three times a day. It's a lot more complex and complicated than that. If y'all would want to kind of just on your daily basis, what all you're charged with and how much beyond that it really requires to run a jail, I don't think people, unless they really are, you know, close to it, really see what all goes into those operations on a daily basis.
There's a lot. I mean, just with the medical part of it, well, when you've got 160 or so inmates, I mean, just the medical part, along with, you know, making sure they've got, making sure they can call their lawyers, their family, making sure they can do what the state requires. The state sets down certain guidelines that we have to go by. And sometimes people don't understand why you do something, but it's because the state says you have to do that. And we try to make sure that we keep all the inmates safe. We try to make sure that, that all the things that the state sets down, we go by their records and we are by their rules, and we do exactly what they want us to do the most efficient way. And it's time-consuming. A whole lot of it is real time consuming to make sure you're doing the right thing at the right time and stuff with it. And Travis is, I mean, he's big on the technology and stuff. That way we can make sure we're trying to do, you know, that we're doing the right thing.
Connie, would you want to speak any more on just what's required daily of keeping of inmates beyond just, you know, it's not just putting them in a cell and that's it?
Oh, no, there's so much more. You know, I started out being a deputy. I was a deputy for 8 years, and I've been Class D for eight, going on 9 years, and I kind of know both sides of the road there. My job, in order for me to do my job efficiently, in order to help all the other deputies, is to keep track of the state inmates, get state inmates into our facility, you know, if they're not following the rules, we got to make sure they're following the rules in order for us to, you know, be a good, efficient jail.
I guess there, Connie, you mentioned Class D. That's something we didn't really go into a lot of detail about. You want to just give a little bit more detail on what your job, what you actually do in your capacity?
We try to keep as many state inmates as we can for, you know, that's what, you know, I do billing for the state inmates. I bill the state. We get so much a day per inmate, and we try to keep as many state inmates as we can. I do several different things.
I guess kind of speaking to that a little bit, Connie, I think it's safe. I know the answer, but I'm going to go ahead and prompt you to it. Why is it important necessarily to keep state versus our county inmates? Could you explain to the citizens a little bit of the difference in
that? There's a big difference on our state inmates. We get paid for them. Now, the county inmates, you know, we do not get paid for them. And it's kind of hard to explain. We don't get paid for them unless their families, you know, they have to pay the debt, you know, of housing and stuff. And it's kind of hard when, you know, the families can't afford it. So, you know.
And I guess that, of course, we kind of in the early episode with Travis, naturally this management of that has been a big part of the success that Travis has had as jailer, is turning that composition of state versus county ratios around some and actually getting us a little bit of a revenue stream.
So, yes.
And that's what I said, that don't just happen. That takes quite a bit of work
on
your all's part and on the jailer's part to make sure that
Not
only can we get them, but that we stay compliant. That way we don't get them jerked from us. So
yes, sir.
That's been a big part of the change. Scott, we hadn't talked much to you. And, of course, I think we're going to have another episode more detailed exactly what you do. But if just a little bit on your daily basis, what do you do at the jail there?
Well, it's all a team effort because you can't – you have 160 inmates in a facility, and you're talking about you have to feed them three times a day. It usually takes two or three people to do that. You know, you're running them back and forth to the nurse. It's just like normal people. She's basically their doctor. If they get sick, and it's just not one or two a day. You know, you have 160 inmates and you have 10 or 15 in one cell. one of them gets a virus, you know, it spreads like wildfire. So she's busy, and she has to have someone with her if the inmate's there. So, I mean, every 15 minutes we have to do a cell check. So it's not something that you just put them in there and set. You know, you have to go in there and physically see them, count them. Laundry, I mean, you take 160, you can imagine what it is just for a family of four, how much laundry you do. You know, you have to keep them in clean clothes. If they ask for socks, you know, we have to have socks on hand to give to them. I mean, you know, some people are indigent and they can't afford to get stuff off commissary. So it's just not putting them in a cell and letting them sit until their court date. It takes a lot to take care of one inmate. And when you're doing that for 160, you have to be on board with who you're working with, and it has to be a team more than just an individual. It takes a lot more to do to be a deputy jailer than what most people see from a blind eye.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think I really wanted to try to do with this episode and with you all as employees. I think general public, they think of people being incarcerated. Naturally, we shouldn't spend any of our taxpayer dollars in housing them and things. And it's just, even though you can or cannot have that feeling, we're required to do beyond that. And I guess trying to get emphasized to people, regardless of what your thoughts are, what's required of us when we do have an inmate. And it's a lot more complex than what even I knew before I took office. And it's easy to see how these things cost so much. So I guess just being able to manage that as efficiently and effectively as possible and try to keep costs down and increase revenues has been a big part of helping the county out.
You're talking about the cost of stuff. You're feeding these guys, it may sound cheap, it's like a dollar and something a plate, which, you know, you go down to McDonald's and you spend $7. And they, well, you know, a dollar and something's not much. Well, you're right, it's not, but you take one inmate, a dollar and something a day, you know, he gets fed three times a day. We have to fix his tray, whether he refuses it or she refuses it or not. And that's still $3 and something. And then you take that times 160. And the food companies that we bid these jobs out to, it goes by an inmate basis, you know. It's not, it may change one day from $1.60 a plate to the next month. It might, you know, the next week it might be $1.30. They base it on how many inmates you have and everything. So still, keeping the cost effective, it's an everyday job. It's just not something they go bid on it and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. There's just so much that goes on that cost effective. Like state inmates, we don't have to pay for, but, you know, they pay us. But it's still very marginal what we make from a state inmate when you compare it to a county inmate. It's still, and that's why it's so hard to come ahead in a jail. And our jailer's been resourceful enough. Danny Allen has to keep up with bills and has to do all of that. And, it, you know, it's an everyday, it's more than a 40-hour a week job because, you know, if you have an emergency, we get called in on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody may come in that's had a PI charge, which is public intoxication, and you really don't know what they're on, and you have to assess that. And it's everything that we've used. You know, it comes down to you're really counting pennies.
I think one thing you kind of touched on there, and we haven't really elaborated on, and I know even just my time here in office, I've saw it changes, is the way the inmate population and troubles have changed. I mean, you got new obstacles now you didn't have 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago with, you know, I'm thinking of some of the diseases, the drugs, those kind of things.
Sure.
So it makes it tougher to manage. Can you, any of you, speak to a little bit how you saw that change, and you kind of alluded to it there, on just being able to receive an inmate in, what you know, the things they may be on or whatever?
Well, what you have to understand is when I was growing up, most of these inmates are anywhere from 20 to 30 years old would be the average. 20 years ago, when I was that age, all that was around this county was, you heard of marijuana and alcohol. Well, drugs change over time just like people. Now you've got to worry about stuff they can make in a plastic bottle that they make out of liquid fire. I mean, you're talking about drain cleaner, heroin, needles. I mean, it's, you know, it's easy to take a handful of pills if you get pulled over and you've got them and throw them down your throat. The police officer won't notice that because it takes some time to take effect. So when they bring them to jail and they was already intoxicated when they arrested them, we don't know what they've taken when they've came there. So we have to give them a drug test. And, you know, we have to basically try to get them to tell us what they've taken so we know how to take care of them.